This will all tie together. When we were kids, you might remember that your mom, or my mom anyway, and I'm sure everybody's mom, would make dinner. And if you were out playing, which kids used to do more than they do nowadays, they're playing with their thumbs and sitting on their and playing with their little technology games. But we would be outside until it was dark and running around and playing around, and she'd make dinner, and when it was ready, she would yell out,
"Dinner!
Okay, yeah, several days. How about, come and get it?
Before I throw it out.
Yeah, come and get it before I throw it out. And when your mom or whoever cooked dinner yelled that out, was your attitude, No, if you worked up an appetite all day long, playing around, being who you were as a kid, you would what? Tear into the house to go get what was ready to be gotten. Come and get it, the Lord is saying to his people. Come and get it. And who's hungry enough to make movement to say, Lord, I want you. Lord, whatever you want to put on my plate, I want to eat. Now that's a big statement, right? When your mom put stuff on your plate, did you ever see things show up that you just plain did not want?
Hardly ever.
Hardly ever. You are a lucky guy. Come on, anybody else like me see things on your plate? You go, nah. Usually for me it was that green stuff, you know. I learned later in life when my kids were little, when my wife would make these green trees, if you smother it in cheese, you might make it. That's why I look like I look, actually. It's not good. Anyway, so come and get it. But what did it mean? It meant you had to put some effort to it. It meant you had to scamper. It meant you had to move forward and you had to go want it. Now, we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ by the blood he shed for you and me at the cross of Calvary. You understand you're not going to be able to accomplish any of your own salvation based on your own good works. You could push an egg with your nose around on the parking lot all day long and never earn heaven. You could do 5,000 good works. You could give all your money, 1 Corinthians 13 says. Give it all to the poor. You could do all sorts of things, but if you have no faith and love in him, if you have not yet surrendered your life to Jesus, you won't be saved. That's awfully harsh. No, it's not. It's all about recognizing you don't have to try to do it yourself. You receive. How many can receive good things? When your mom made you dinner and said, come and get it, did you have to say, okay, Mom, what do you want me to do before I can eat? Okay, yeah, that's true. Okay, wash your soul and get ready to eat from the Lord. That's right. But it's by his grace we're saved. And yet, once we have salvation by grace, you understand there's something he's after. It's not just saved to sit. It's not just saved and then go to heaven someday. That's fine. If you die right away and you go to heaven, you're heaven bound. No question. But you understand God's got something more for you and me, and it's called being conformed to his image, right? The Bible says we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. We're conformed. He works with us. He changes us. He transforms us, makes us more like him. That's why I'm not the same person you knew 2 years ago, and neither are you. Thank God. Somebody can say amen.
Amen.
Thank God Kevin's not what he was. But thank God, because the grace of God keeps working with us. What else is his goal? To bring his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Anybody in here ever pan for gold? All right, you pan for gold. Did you have to put some effort into it? Did you have to go get a few supplies and get your hands wet or dirty? When you went looking for gold or diamonds, do the stuff, the mineral, the fantastic stuff, does it just lay on top of the ground? When the farmer plants his crops, Does he have to do any work at all? Or does he just walk out to his field and say, grow? So there's work, isn't there? There's work. So when we're saved by grace through faith, and then we cooperate with him in our growth. If someone were to tell you, you just inherited $1 million, would you say, not worth the effort to go get it? Okay, you got to go to Olympia. Don't feel like it. Would you say, no, you wouldn't. You'd say, let me at it. I got plans for that money. I know you got plans for that money and my money too. I know you do. But let me at it. No, we understand that when it comes to natural application in our lives. But sometimes in spiritual things, now hang in here with me, we say it's all gonna happen in heaven someday. Now, how many know heaven's gonna be a fantastic spot? Heaven's going to be glorious. We're going to worship the Lord. We're going to have a great time. And I'm going to be in the section where there are cowboy boots. Okay, I know that ahead of time. But we're going to enjoy heaven. Heaven's a glorious place, a wonderful place. But you've got life right now to live for the Lord on this earth. Someone say, I want to be just like Jesus. So come and get it. When it comes to growing in the Lord. The promised land. What's the promised land? Now listen carefully. What is the land that God promised to Israel? According to Genesis chapter 15 verse 18 and Joshua chapter 1 verse 4, the land God gave to Israel included, now listen carefully, everything from the Nile River in Egypt to Lebanon, south to north, and everything from the Mediterranean Sea to the Euphrates River, west to east. So what land has God stated belongs to Israel? Church, all the land that Israel currently possesses, plus all the land that the Palestinians have in the West Bank and Gaza, plus some of Egypt, some of Syria, plus all of Jordan, plus some of Saudi Arabia, Israel only currently possesses a fraction of the land that God promised to them. Take a look. You see the red border? Could you turn out the light just please, Sam? Thank you. Let's all give Sam a round of applause. Good job. You see the border around there? That's what God promised to Israel. Now let's see Israel as it stands today. I have two maps up there. There's currently Israel. You see the West Bank, you see Gaza Strip, you'll see those areas down there. Excuse me. Talk among yourselves. I'm looking for something. There. Thank you. Nope. We're fine. We're fine. All of that just so I could do this. See that? Welcome to the 20th century, Kevin. Because if I were in the 21st century, this would all be PowerPoint, whatever else, right? So there's Israel. Look at all of this. Now let's put that first one back up again, please. So little Israel, surrounded, amazing they even exist, surrounded by all sorts of people that don't like them, and here is what God said, I want you to have. The next third map, if you would please, Pat, shows you Israel in light of all the other countries, just so you can see the way it looks nowadays. There's another map, and let's go to page 65. No, not that one. But thank you. Talk among yourselves. Nope. That's exactly. There we go. So here it is. Israel is very confused today. All right. So very good. Let's all applaud Pat. Good job. Vern and Pat are getting their workout this morning. Vern's doing the sound system. They changed everything since the last time he did it. So you have little Israel surrounded by all of this and people who hate them. And there is where they are. And God said, there's a lot more. God called Abraham out of his land and said, I'm taking you to a new land. And then remember, Canaan went through famine. They went to Egypt for 430 years. And then under Moses, God brought them out. And when it came time to go into the new land, now we can go back to the one that's just Israel, page 642. Little joke. You're doing great. You're doing great. Yep, that one.
Okay.
No, the other one. That one. That one. There. Yep, this is great. Pat thought she was done with all of this. So, here we are. So, they start off over in what's called, over in this area. It's called over in this area. So, they come over, and what's the first land they conquer, or the first place they conquer?
Jericho.
So, here's where they are, and God's getting ready to take them into the land. And God's got promise after promise after promise for them. And some place for them to serve. And Joshua, remember, is one of how many spies? 12 spies. And how many spies brought a good promise back from the land? They come in here to look it over and they say, Joshua and Caleb go back saying, we can take the land. God's great. It's big. The fruit is incredible. And you have 10 spies that say, yeah, nice fruit, but it's going to be tough. They got big giants there. They're really scary dudes. We don't want anything to do with this land. We should have died back here in Egypt. Nice positive word. Anybody hanging around friends like that? Probably should change those friends. You look at them and say, love you. Love you. Ain't hanging around you anymore. I want somebody who's going to say, let's believe God. The God's land is a great land. Let's go on in. But it took how many years in the wilderness? Okay, remember Brad Hunter's message last week? No shortcuts. Moses spent 40 years in training. Moses spent 40 years then in the wilderness getting trained by God. And when he was 80, God said, you're ready. Joshua, under Moses, was ready to go into the land at age 40. 10 spies destroyed the promise for an entire generation. And they go back into the wilderness and wander for how many years?
40.
You add 40 to 40. Who else was 80 when his ministry began? Yeah. Come on, high five each other in this room. Say, you're not 80, but you're looking good. Just about time to get started, right, in our ministry. So, Joshua is getting ready to take him on in. Lights, please. Thanks, Sam. Now, what happens here? Now the black and white one, Pat, if you would. Thank you. Now, and you can leave this in. So what we have, they're across the Jordan. And let's lift it up, if you would, please. They're across the Jordan. And what actually happened here, I'll just do this really quickly. What actually happened is the stuff of War College study now, even through this era today. The conquests of Joshua going into the land were absolutely dynamic, powerful study and lesson in warfare that armies have patterned themselves after for generations. What he did is he took his army and he moved rapidly, quickly, so they couldn't prepare. Right into Jericho, the very first place he overcame was with huge, thick walls and armaments and places that looked totally protected. And he went in and took Jericho by direction of God, which demonstrated to everybody else living in this land, God was on the scene. And so what did he do? He cut them right in half. And the military perspective is, then he moved down south for his conquest to all of these places, but these people could not go up north for help or get help from the north because they were cut off because the center part had been taken. He moves down here, takes the land. Then he goes back, by the way, every time he goes back to Gilgal. Gilgal means in Hebrew, rolling. there was the rolling away of all of the negative things the devil had put on Israel. The rolling away. There's a lot of spiritual principles. That's where I'm going. A lot of spiritual principles to overcoming and conquering the devil. Who conquered the devil ultimately?
Jesus.
Come on, who conquered the devil?
Jesus.
And is there any area of your life here this morning in which you need some more victory? Does that mean Jesus didn't win? No, but it means we need to appropriate the provision. Lots of times we say, the provision isn't big enough. No, it's not that, is it?
No.
It's that the practicer isn't exercising the provision. Amen? So then they move up north, they take over the land here. And how many know how long it took Joshua to conquer this land and Israel? 7 years. 7 years. When you read your Bible, so you understand the Scripture will answer the Scripture. Takes 7 years. So Joshua starts moving them in when he's 80. And when he is 87, Joshua finally is able to receive his own land. Because 7 years of warfare took place. Now what I want you to see this morning is over the next several weeks, we're going to be talking about spiritual warfare. I'm not after the natural conquest as much as I'm after understanding there are incredible principles involved here for each one of our lives. We've already talked about it, but what happens is we so often say, heaven someday, lack of provision must mean lack of practice in my life. And that's not true. His provision is full. Our practice is not. You understand, by the way, simple aside, that the promised land is not heaven. We all think heaven is the promised land. This is the land we need to conquer. How many know there are not going to be enemies in heaven someday? We're going to be worshiping Him and our place of warfare for overcoming that land that He wants us to overcome the problems and the things that beset and overcome and become transformed to be more like Him. That's in our life today. So heaven is not the promised land. One more comment. The promised land, you go to the book of Hebrews, is a place of rest. Hebrews 3 and chapter 4. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. He points to the Old Testament, the Hebrews writer does, and he says, they didn't enter into that rest. Being in the place of God's presence, overcoming sin, having victory, gives you rest. Anybody in this room need a little more peace? A little more provision? A little more practice of the provision? Let me give you a real ouch statement. You like to come to church, hear ouch statements?
Yep.
Come on, every eye up here. Y'all awake?
Yep.
This is an ouch statement. At least it is for me. Powerful man of God one time said, we are too much of sinners to enjoy Christianity, and we're too Christian to enjoy sin. That's wilderness living. That's what they were doing when they were out in the wilderness, wandering in the desert. Too much of God's people to live like the rest of the world. Not enough of God's people to say, okay, I'll let go of the world and go on into the promised land in victory. Y'all with me?
Yeah.
Okay. I remember my stepdad, I got along really well with my stepdad. I remember when I was a kid, he used to teach me how to overcome things. And one time he taught me that the best thing to do when a mosquito lands on you is just let it drill down. Because it won't leave the big welt. And he showed me. We were out camping and this mosquito landed on him and he just stood there. Of course, this was a World War II special forces kind of guy, you know. He just stood there and that thing went plummeting for oil and left him a 50-pound mosquito, you know. He said, that's all you do, son. So the next time a mosquito landed on me, I started to let that baby drill down. Guess what I did? Ouch! I never again let a mosquito drill down on me. Sometimes bugs and flies and gnats, they'll fly around and they'll buzz. But it's low-level frustration, and we just keep doing what we're doing. We might swat it away, but it's low-level frustration. Do you know what the devil does? Brings plenty of low-level frustration. Lots of sin and temptation. Just let me drill down. It'll be all right. Absolutely not. And that's how we should be against the devil, shouldn't we? Absolutely not. I'm not going that way. Resist the devil. He what? Flees from you. So don't let any bug drill down on you. So what do we do in this life? A lot of thoughts to tie together today. What do we do in this life? Watch what Jesus says. Luke chapter 19, verse 13. Luke 19, verse 13. What are we supposed to do today in our lives? He called his 10 servants, the scripture says, and he delivered them 10 pounds, and he said to them, out of the King James Version, occupy till I come. Say that with me. Occupy till I come. New King James says, do business till I come. The New American Standard says, do business with this until I come back. The Message says, operate with this till I return. The NIV says, put this money to work until I come back. The New Living says, invest this for me while I'm gone. The word occupy in the Greek means to busy oneself. Be about the business. Jesus says, you receive what I've given you. Take the $1 million. Come and get it. Take it. I want you to walk in it. I want you to live it. I want you to bring my kingdom on earth. I want Port Ludlow to know that Jesus is here. I want Hadlock to know him. Port Townsend and Gamble and Port Angeles and Squim. I want this entire region, the Olympic Peninsula, to know that Jesus is alive and well, and he's living here through all of you. Someone say amen. Amen. My cul-de-sac needs to know Jesus is alive and well. Because I'm just going to keep doing business with God till he returns. Take what I've given you. Do business with it. Strategic prayer partners, we need to be doing business with God over genocide of Christians in Iraq and over all of these things that are happening. Because prayer moves the hand that moves the world. How many know we're not there yet in America? Think we could use some revival in America? Psalm 144 verse 15 says, happy are the people who are in such a state. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Let's talk about provision not practiced. By the way, I am not critical. I'm just observing, because I know this is where we all live, where the rubber hits the road. Joshua, I'm in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, if you want to turn to it and see it in your own Bible. Joshua, chapter 1, I have most of the verses up here, not all of them. Joshua 1, verses 3 through 5. Joshua 1, verses 3 and 5. The Lord told Joshua, verse 3 of Joshua chapter 1, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I've given you, as I said to Moses. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Please say the last phrase of verse 5 with me. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Verses 7 and 8 of Joshua 1. Verses 7 and 8. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. How many want to prosper wherever you go? What does the scripture say? Pay attention to the word of God. It says, pay attention to the word of God. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written in it. Guys, why do you think we talk all the time about read the word daily, even if it's just a psalm? Read the word daily. Allow the word of God keep working in your life. It's a living book. Can someone say amen? Amen. Man, God can speak to you a phrase, something that the next interaction you have with somebody else, you might need exactly what you just read in the Bible that day, because the Holy Spirit will prepare you. For then you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. If you want victory, you and I need to be right with God. I didn't hear a lot of amens on that one. If you want victory, we need to be right with God. We need to ask Him to cleanse us, and we need to repent from sin. Joshua 5, verses 13 through 15. I'm not going to read it, but Joshua 5, 13 through 15. If you remember, Joshua was getting ready to lead the army into the promised land. And he comes around a corner, and he meets some guy standing there. And he says, Joshua says to this guy, "Who are you?" Maybe not in that tone of voice. And the guy looks at him and he goes, "I'm the captain of the Lord of hosts, pal. You better take off your shoes because you're on holy ground." I happen to believe that's one of the Old Testament appearances of Jesus. And God was on the scene saying, "You're going to go in and get victory. You're going to meet with me first." If we want victory in our lives, we need to be right with God. Then Israel goes in and they conquer Jericho. Absolutely fantastic. How many know battle number 2 was in a little city called Ai? And how many know what happened the first time they tried to take Ai? There was sin in the camp. One of the soldiers decided he would steal a little silver and a little something for himself. And Israel said, "Oh, this is a tiny little city. We don't need to go up. We're not going to even trouble all the army. This is easy stuff." Whenever we're full of pride and think, "I got this," we better humble ourselves and be tender with God. Someone say amen? Amen. So they went up to Ai, and because there was sin in the camp, they got defeated and people died. And Joshua sought God that day, said, "What are we doing wrong?" And God said, "Get off your face. There's sin in the camp. You got to deal with it." Sometimes, church, it's not always, but sometimes we don't have victory because we have sin in our lives. And we need to repent and turn away from that sin. And when we do, just like Joshua and Israel, when they repented and dealt with the sin, they went back up and conquered the city of Ai. They would conquer each time and return to Israel, or to Gilgal. And Joshua 11, verse 15, tells us that Joshua did everything he was commanded to do. They defeated the armies in central Israel, or the enemies, then defeated those down south, then defeated those in the north. But we come along to a scripture, and look what God says. Joshua 13, verse 1. Just going to go through several, rapid fire. Joshua was old, advanced in years, and the Lord said to him, "You're old, advanced in years." How many pray the Lord doesn't ever say that to you? Going for my devotions, and I just want to love the Lord, get a little verse of encouragement. He looks and he goes, "Kevin, you're an old bugger now. You're really advanced in years." "Well, Lord, compared to you, I'm not." Anyway, this probably isn't a verse in the promise box. Going to pull out a little promise, "You're old, advanced in years." "No, thank you." But he says, "There remains much land yet to be possessed." Joshua 15, verse 63. Watch this series. "As for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Israel could not drive them out." Jebusites dwell with the children of Judah at Jerusalem to this day. Chapter 17, verse 12. "Yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities." Wait a minute. God said, "Go in and take the land." But the Canaanites, listen, were determined to dwell in that land. How many know sometimes getting victory in certain areas of your life is not always easy? Come on, don't be religious with me. Sometimes temptation is tough. The devil is determined to get you off the path however he can, and he has hordes to help you out. Lots of temptation. And it can sometimes be hard to overcome. That's why we need Jesus. That's why we need each other. That's why I can call Cease, "Please be praying for me. It's a rough day." You know what I'm saying? We can stand together because sometimes the enemies are determined to dwell in the land. They put the Canaanites to forced labor, but they did not utterly drive them out. Again, Joshua 21, 43 through 35. 45, rather. 43 through 45. It's going to sound interesting, but I've got a point from it. So the Lord gave to Israel, say it with me, gave to Israel. All the land of which he had sworn to give their fathers, they took possession of it and dwelt in it. The Lord gave them rest all around, according to all that he had sworn to their fathers. Not a man of all their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their land. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. Wait a minute, Kevin, this is confusing. Not really. What's happening? The gift is given from God. And he says, come and get it. But Israel had to be reminded, stirred up, to go defeat the enemy. God did his part, but Israel didn't always do their part. The provision was given. The land had been conquered, but there were still pockets of problems. Anybody in this room ever have a pocket of problem? Look at each other and say, empty your pockets. Good time to take up an offering when I say that. No, I'm kidding. The gift is given. All right, watch. We're going to have a few more points. Compromise brings defeat. Judges chapter 1, verse 19. We're in Joshua and in Judges this morning. Judges chapter 1, verse 19, the next book of the Old Testament. So the Lord was with Judah, and they drove out the mountaineers. Listen. But they could not drive out the inhabitants of the lowlands because they had chariots of iron. Some enemies respond quickly. Sometimes we fast and pray. Sometimes we need to get a lot of friends involved in praying because one puts 1,000 to flight. I'm sorry. One puts 1,000 to flight. Two will put 10,000 to flight, the Bible says. Some enemies are harder to go. Judges 1, verses 27 to 28. However, Manasseh did not drive out the inhabitants, for the Canaanites were determined to dwell in that land. Verse 28. It came to pass when Israel was strong, they put the Canaanites under tribute, but did not completely drive them out. Judges 1, verse 34. And the Amorites, now listen, they didn't fully come and get it and walk in their provision. And pretty soon you see that there's more and more enemies that hang out in the land. They're not getting victory. They're not getting victory. Now watch the shift of this verse. It's not that they're in charge as Israel anymore. Look in this verse at who's in charge. The Amorites forced the children of Dan, one of the tribes of Israel, into the mountains. For they, the Amorites' enemy, would not allow them to come down into the valley. Church, I want you to know something. Jesus Christ has victory in every area of life. And if we're yielding to the devil, we'll not get victory. But if you're not yielding to the devil, you can send the devil fleeing. You may need prayer, you may need support, but there's no way the devil can look at you and say, I ain't going. He has to go. That's what the New Testament teaches us. All right. What happened? They began to live with defeat. They began to live with compromised living. Now, just so you know the progression, spiritual principles involved. They let the enemy live in their land. They began to marry the enemy. And soon it wasn't long before they were worshiping the enemy's God. Mixture. Compromise. I want you to see this spiritually. What you allow in your heart and life, just a little sin, just a little pornography, just a little drunkenness, just a little stealing, just a little gets you in a compromised place and makes it difficult to have victory. Can someone say amen? All right, what do we do? Rise up and defeat the enemy. Say it with me. Rise up and defeat the enemy. Say it again. Rise up and defeat the enemies. Judges chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Judges 3, 1 through 4. Watch this. Now, these are the nations which the Lord left. What happened was, Israel got lazy, wouldn't accomplish the victory, and finally God says, okay, phooey on youey. That's a new translation. He says, you're not going to drive them out. And so God says, you'll find it in chapter 2 of Judges, he says, I ain't going to drive them out before you anymore. Because you're not going to do what I'm telling you to do. You're going to have problems in your life. Come on, someone say amen.
Amen.
Kevin, when Kevin doesn't do what God wants him to do, how many know Kevin's having a bad day?
Yeah.
Isn't it true?
Yeah.
For you too?
Yeah.
You're really going to be like, what are you into, pal? Just daily living. Daily living. So, what does he say? Now, these are the nations which the Lord left, that he might test Israel by them. That is, all who had not known any of the wars in Canaan. So, what happens is, the Lord says, I love you, but I got to toughen you up spiritually. You're going to have problems. You're going to have temptations. You're going to have attacks. You're going to have condemnation, shame thrown at you. Maybe you haven't done anything wrong, and the devil's going to throw a cloud of gunk your way. In the New Testament, in the book of Revelations, it says they overcame him, meaning the saints overcame the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And Jesus says, I'm going to allow just enough trouble to come from time to time in your life so you learn how to be a strong Christian. Can someone say amen?
Amen.
God says, I want you to be a tough battle person. I want you to be a warrior. I want you to be able to stand up and wage warfare with the devil and send him fleeing. I want my saints to be strong. I want my house to be strong. I want this earth, this nation, this community to know Jesus Christ is alive and well. It doesn't mean you run around and shove Jesus down people's throats, but it means you stand strong for Jesus Christ and you don't compromise. When the devil comes around and goes, oh, it's just fine, do a little bit of this, you say, no, I'm going to live for Jesus and I'm bringing all my neighbors with me because I don't want anybody to go to hell.
That's right.
Amen? We're going to stand for Jesus, right?
Yeah.
Amen. Got my power back, see? Victory. Life. Grace. Power. If we want the promised land, we're going to have to wage some spiritual warfare and conquer the temptations and the enemies left in the land. Now let's close. Hebrews chapter 3 and 4, you don't need to turn there, outline very effectively for you what I referred to earlier. The writer talks about those people in this day who did not inherit the promised land because of unbelief. They were stubborn in not believing what God provided to them. And so they wandered around in the wilderness, and that whole generation died off, never got to go in. And Joshua got to lead in a new generation. Hebrews 4 verse 9 says, there remains therefore a rest to the people of God, a place of promise, a place of provision, a place of settling down in His presence. Hebrews 4 verse 11 says, let us therefore be, say the word please, diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of unbelief. You need to know that word is powerful, and it is the Greek word spoudazo. Say that with me, spoudazo. Say it again, spoudazo. You're all Greek scholars now, and it literally means use speed, make effort, be prompt, be earnest. You need to make effort. You need to be prompt. You need to be earnest about entering into that provision of God. In earnest about entering into God's promises. Entering into the victory God has for you. This is a life to be living. It's not a life to be sleeping through. It's not just heaven someday. It's walking with God right now in today's day and age, having victory in the Lord and demonstrating His presence to people who need Him. There are people all around you who need Jesus Christ, and they need you and me to be able to walk with them and look at them and say, I know exactly what you're going through, and Jesus helped me and He can help you too. I'll stand with you when you're in an attack time. I'll stand with you and we'll get the devil off your back so you can have victory in the Lord. We can enter in to the promise of God. And when Jesus says, come on church, dinner's ready, come and get it, He's looking for people who say, I'll come and I'll get it in Jesus' name, saith the Lord. Stand with me. Someone say amen and stand with me. I'll come and get it, Lord. I'll come and get it. Musicians, will you come? Now, how about you this morning? Is there any area of your life where you know you need to come and get it? Now, you take that two ways. I don't mean that bad. Come and get it from the Lord. No, come and get it. Get His help. Get His strength. Get His peace. The Lord's spoken to you and you have not yet surrendered your life to the Lord and you know life's nothing but hassle. Jesus has a place of peace and provision for you. I can't promise you life with no trouble, but I can promise you a God who will walk through those troubles with you. Yes. If you're here this morning and you said, you know, I've been waiting a little too much for heaven and not walking in the practice as much as I should, Jesus is here for you. Because He said, come on, lift up your vision. There's a lot of provision. Make it your practice. Come and get it. We're going to sing, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. And if that's you and you need ministry in your body or in your soul, you feel free to come on up as we sing. And we're going to close and believe God to do something fantastic for you this week. How many are ready for new living in the Lord?
Yes.
Ready for new blessing and new life?
Yes.
Amen. I have decided. You make a choice this morning, right? I have decided to follow Jesus. Lord, we thank You for being so good. We thank You for being the one we can follow. We thank You, Lord, that we can come and get it in You. We thank You for Your provision in Jesus' name. I have decided. Yes, it's us. We've decided to follow You. We've decided to run after You. We've decided to come and get it. We thank You for preparing a harvest of fruit and victory for us. Thank You for providing for us a great meal in Your Word week by week and the day by day reading we get to enjoy. Thank You for the moving of Your Spirit and for changing us evermore. Lord, we've come to follow You. Now bless each person in this place today. And as they go forward, let them go forward with the peace and presence of Jesus. Because we've made a decision. I've decided to follow Jesus. Pray with me, church. If you've not given your life to the Lord, pray with me. Out loud, all of us together, in fresh surrender. Lord Jesus, I come to You today. Be my Lord and my Savior. Take over my life completely. I have decided to follow You, Lord. Wash me clean by Your blood.
Shed for me at
Calvary. I give You my life. And now by faith, I receive forgiveness.
I receive
You as my Lord and Savior. I have decided to follow You. In Jesus' name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. As you go forth from this place today, I pray you go forward with an impartation of fresh hunger and desire to follow Him no matter what, to enjoy His victory no matter what, to celebrate in His presence. God bless you. And Lord, we thank You for this great day together in Jesus' name. And they all said,
Amen.
Amen.